From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Ed Gordon. It wasn't long ago that workers who belonged to labor unions were the backbone of the American economy. From the auto industry to the service sector, few jobs got done without union workers. But globalization, automation, and a faltering economy have all taken their toll on the unions. One of the hardest hit has been the AFL-CIO, the country's largest labor federation, representing 9 million workers and 53 unions. I discussed the challenges facing organized labor with Linda Chavez-Thompson, the executive vice president of the AFL-CIO. She told me why unions still matter in America.
The labor union today is the last line between elimination of protection and the defense of what workers have come to expect in this country. We are losing protection of workers. We are losing jobs overseas. We are looking at corporations eliminating pension plans for workers. Healthcare costs are going up, and workers are fighting every single contract to keep their healthcare benefits. So the American labor movement is still fighting for what we used to have and trying to keep what we've got today.
With all of the attention on immigrants in this country, we saw recently day laborers and undocumented workers sign an agreement with the AFL-CIO. Talk to us about the importance of something like that as we move to grapple with the immigration question in this country.
Well, 10 years ago, there were 4 worker centers in the United States. We now have over 140 of them in 31 states. And worker centers are providing support to communities of low-wage workers. Many of them are, of course, new immigrants and people of color. Day laborers today in the United States often face the harshest forms of workplace abuse. Now, this doesn't gain us members, but it does gain us the opportunity to help these workers not only educate themselves, but to form an organized effort to defend themselves from the violations and the abuse of employers, lack of pay, lack of facilities at work. And the work that we're doing with Indilon, the National Day Labor Organization Network, is very much the kind of work that we have done over the years when new immigrants have come into this country. And eventually, down the line, some of them will become citizens and some of them will become union members, and that's great. But the work that we're doing here is to protect those workers so that they don't drag down all workers, because that is exactly what has happened. Exploitation is wrong, and it hurts all of us, because when the standards are dragged down for some workers, they are dragged down for all workers.
Linda, I'm curious, as we see a loss of membership in unions across the board in this country, one of the things that historically we've seen for minorities in the United States is the idea of how important historically unions had been to giving them equal opportunity and equal playing field. When we see the reduction of not just numbers but power, quite frankly, what does this mean for minorities in this country in terms of their ability to have equal opportunity?
Unions, in fact, built the middle class of America. We were the ones that were able to build jobs and put together benefits for workers that allowed them to send their kids to college, allowed them to buy new homes, allowed them to have a better car. And, in fact, that deterioration is happening today because the jobs now don't offer a pension plan. The jobs now don't offer a health care plan because corporate America wants to keep more of the money in their pockets and not share it with the workers. So we're working to pass new laws to make workplace safer. We are working to keep something like the Sago mine tragedy from happening. The dirty secret in America is that half of Americans would like to form a union tomorrow if given a chance. The problem is that 90% of employers are fighting the workers' efforts to form unions, and they break the law to do it. Workers who belong to unions earn at times up to 50% more in wages. Latino workers can earn up to 53% more in wages if they belong to a union. African-American workers are in the 40% range if they belong to a union.
Linda, how do you combat what many people call the Walmart effect, and that is these huge employers with largely non-unionized workforces who, in many people's minds, provide other services for the community in Walmart's case, i.e. Low prices for those. So it's almost a catch-22, damned if you do, damned if you don't, on one side or the other. How are you combating that?
How dare Walmart pass on the cost of operating in a community to the people who, in fact, won't be able to afford to even go into their stores? We're talking about the people that work for Walmart Number one, are not allowed to join a union if they want to join a union. Number two, Walmart does the small businesses in whatever community they come in and build their super duper stores. And they pass the cost on for the health care of their workers onto the same community that they want shopping in their stores. We are trying to push the effort of having states monitor these huge companies who have thousands of employees. And if you look at the welfare rolls and look at the food stamps and look at who goes into the hospitals, public hospitals, it is those very same Walmart employees. So what we're trading off and buying cheaper, we're still paying when we pay for their health care because they can't afford to buy whatever health care plan Walmart affords them because it's too high.
What about the political side of all of this? I'm from Detroit originally and can remember how important and how powerful unions were to the political agenda to this country. Some have seen that power wane in the last few years. I think about the minimum wage, for instance. What about the clout and the power of the AFL-CIO, the UAW, and other unions today?
The AFL-CIO is going to have the biggest grassroots political program for a midterm election in our history, because we need to elect worker-friendly candidates. We happen to be the single largest player in this year's midterm election because we're going to mobilize 12 million voters in 21 top-tier states. And more importantly, we're getting ready for 2008 because we want a president who cares about working families. Union families are hurting, but working families in America, those that earn minimum wage, those that really saw through this big joke where they tried to pass a minimum wage and the Republican Congress tied it to the estate tax, give me a break, ha ha. That was a joke on America's workers, and I think a lot of people are going to remember that when they go to the voting booth in November. In fact, we're going to make sure that they remember that.
Hey, Linda, thank you so very much.
Happy Labor Day to you.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Linda.